And the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 23, it says, when his time of service was completed, he returned home. Talking about Zechariah. We talked about Zechariah last week. It says, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Would you not love to have an angel come to you and say, you have found favor with God? Amen? Amen? Amen. I kind of move you right up. I mean, I'll tell you what, that would kind of give me, you know, Aaron was getting a little pumped up. I'll tell you what, having an angel come and say, you found favor with God, that would pump me up. Amen? Amen. Amen. So Mary, though, was troubled. It says, let me find where we're at here. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. Lord, we come before you, knowing that you are a mighty God, knowing that you are a miracle-working God. And we have prayed this morning. I have prayed this morning for cancer. I have prayed this morning for stroke. I have prayed this morning. I have been praying, Lord, for your work in this body, in this congregation, Lord. And I see the fruit of that prayer, Lord. I would lift up, Lord, Beatrice, to you, Lord, your healing touch upon her. Anthony, Lord, your healing touch upon him, Lord, that you would be glorified, Lord, in our midst, Lord, as we would see your healing touch. We give you praise, Lord. We ask that you would touch Kathy, Lord. Get her out of that wheelchair. Pray for Balthazar, Lord, in that recovery facility, Lord, that you would just be a healer among us, Lord. Lord, there are challenging things that lie before us in our lives. Lord, as Mary saw challenges and Zechariah and Elizabeth saw challenges, Lord, that there are challenges before us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would empower us to rise up, to meet those challenges, to overcome challenges, Lord, and be more than victorious in our lives. We give you praise, Lord, knowing that you are mighty and awesome and able. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Well, today is December 9th. December 7th was on Friday, and it was the 71st anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, a day that changed America. Listen.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
How many of you guys have heard that before? That is a famous clip. Talks of the enemy coming, unannounced, and attacking our nation. I heard some of these clips. This was a clip that I had not heard.
Last night, Japanese forces attacked Hong Kong. Last night, Japanese forces attacked Guam. Last night, Japanese forces attacked the Philippine Islands. Last night, the Japanese attacked Wake Island. And this morning, the Japanese attacked Midway Island.
And you see, the attack that came against Hawaii, the attack that came against the United States, was not just focused on the United States. That the attack was spread out. As we see the attack of the enemy come against us, it is not just focused on one person. That there is an attack that is spread out, and that there is a response that is necessary from each one. Listen to this last clip.
Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God.
Called the Day of Infamy. It was a day of change, a radical day of change for most every American because of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Message today is actually changes, day of change. And maybe today would be a day that would be a change for you because each one of us is under attack. Amen? And not just focus, that it is spread out. The plan of God was to respond to the attack of the enemy. See, everybody's life was changed because everybody changes when war comes to your door. Amen? And nobody gets to sit out when war, when your enemy is knocking on your door, everybody needs to have a response. And so the angel had come last week, we talked about, to Zechariah. And he says, I have a plan of response to the attack that my people are undergoing. Will you participate? This same angel comes today, and he comes to a 16-year-old girl. My daughter is 16. I imagine my daughter entering into the war of good and evil, an angel coming to our door and saying, Leanne, would you be involved? Nobody gets to sit out. See, when the enemy attacks, when war comes to your door, everybody is impacted. Everybody is affected. And when the attack comes, when war comes to your door, it is a day of change for everyone. God started a plan 2,000 years ago about the redemption of mankind. Impacted an old man named Zechariah and a young man, young girl named Leanne. I'm Mary.
All right.
Going off here. And that plan weaves through history and comes right to this room. Can I get a witness on that? Why? Because war comes to our door. Our enemy is in our streets. Our enemy is in our schools. Our enemy is in our homes. And when the war comes to your door, it impacts everybody. Right. Nobody gets to sit out. War is less than convenient. The plan of God is less than convenient, but God is not about convenience today. Amen. God is about victory. Amen?
Amen?
And so as the forces of the United States marshal, so we need to be marshaled, become part of the plan of God. And rally so that we might find victory in our war. Amen? Message of the title today is A Day of Change. Let's take a look. Amen? Amen? Are we tracking? War come to your door? Challenge come to your face? Enemy knocking on your door? We all have a part to play. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. That's verses 23 and 24. And we'll jump to verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, and he started this thing rolling with Mary. And what I'm seeing here is in this plan of God to thwart the attack of the enemy, that God is on the move. That God was in, you know, he started talking with Zechariah, and his wife got pregnant in their old age, and in the fifth month of that pregnancy, she was in seclusion. The angel comes and talks to Mary in the sixth month, and God is getting busy. God is able to be busy. Maybe you see God doing some things around here. Amen? I tell you what, the prayers I'm seeing, God is doing some things around here. And God started doing something in an old man's life, and he was struggling with God. And maybe you come in here today, and you might struggle with the plan of God in your life. You might struggle with the things of God in your life. Zechariah was wondering whether or not he could even believe God. Maybe you struggle like that. Do you struggle believing the promises of God? Do you struggle that God might do something mighty in your life? Do you struggle that God came to Mary, this 16-year-old girl, and says, I want to transform the entire track of your life. Can God do that to you? Does God have that much authority in your life? Does God have that much of position in your life? Because sadly, today in our church, most of the times the answer is no. I don't have time for God. I don't have room for God. Following God is less than convenient. But God is not about convenience. God is about victory. And so perhaps this morning you need to put a helmet on and join into the program, the plan, because war has indeed come to our door. God's about victory. Amen? Back to Elizabeth, verse 25. That's the verse that I skipped. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor. This is an old lady. She might be young to some of you in here. But she is called old in the Bible. She was well along in years. She was more than 60 years old. It says, he has shown me this favor and taken away my disgrace from amongst the people. Praise the Lord. See, Elizabeth had lived a challenged life. 60 years of disgrace. Why? She had no son. She had no children. She was barren. And you could ask herself, I mean, she's the child of priests. She's married to a priest. She lived an upright life. If there's anybody that was due a blessing from the Lord, you could say it was Elizabeth. But instead, she lived a life of disgrace. Less than convenient. But God's not about convenient. Amen? You could say, who caused her disgrace? I think you can make a case that God caused her disgrace. That God had held back that child. Why? Because God had a plan. God had a plan that included Elizabeth and Zechariah and their son, John. Less than convenient. God's not about convenience. We don't hear that today. I wonder when the change was made. That when God became the God of convenience, that God became the God of all comfort. Now, God gives us comfort, but it's not often in the seat that you drive around your car in. Can I get a witness on that? See, you know, God is not a God of convenience, but there are some churches, I was talking with Pastor Paul, there are some churches you don't have to go to church. You can look at church and you can go to church online. Don't want to inconvenience anyone. You know, God has not only come to the enemy has not only come to our streets and our schools and our homes, but the enemy has come to our churches. Right. Because now the church has become a church of convenience. And it shouldn't be so. Right. Because God is not about convenience. God's about victory. And when the war comes to your door, everybody is impacted. Everybody changes. A day of change. December 7th. War. Went to church with a Pearl Harbor survivor. I'll tell you about him sometime, not today. Everybody's life was changed because of what happened in Pearl Harbor. I looked some of these things up. Have you really tried to save gas by getting into a car club? There was rationing of gas. Why? So all the gas could go to fight the war in the Pacific and in Europe. You had to cut back on your gas. Some people say that's less inconvenient. War's not about convenience. Can I get a witness on that? It says, we'll have lots to eat this winter, won't we, Mother? Grow your own and can your own. Talking about having a vegetable garden. Getting out there and digging up and planting stuff. Why? So that they could have more crops, commercial crops, to send to the troops. So it impacted your driving habits. The war impacted having a garden or not. Put a lid on Hitler by saving old metal and paper. They want everybody to recycle so that they could do what? Make ships and planes and trucks and cars and all kinds of things for the war effort. How inconvenient. Look at this last one. And there was a bunch of them. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't put on your plate more than you can eat. How inconvenient. War is not about convenience. War is about victory. And this morning, I would make a case that war has come to our doors, that our enemy is knocking, trying to take our youth, trying to take our children, trying to take Roki. Great testimony this morning, bro. Trying to take Aaron. And Aaron's getting pumped up. Surround yourself. People of God. You'll be able to stand in the midst of the challenge. Amen?
Amen.
God's about victory. Praise the Lord. All right. We all have opportunities to engage. We can get involved in the plan of God. We can get involved in this war against the enemy, against evil that would come against us. Let us read about this 16-year-old girl. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And I want to let you know that the Lord works with regular folks. A young girl, I don't know if she was 16, probably mid to late teens. That's about when young girls got married back in the day. And the angel went to her. Now, she was a normal girl. She had plans for her life. Huh? You guys got plans for her life? Prayed for a new life this morning. New marriage happening. Got plans, got all kinds of things going on. Gordo signing up to go to the military. Got plans. Just a normal girl. How many of you guys got plans? Everybody got plans. Amen? Everybody's got some dreams and aspirations. This is a girl just like any other girl. Angel comes and make an offer. And you know what the Bible says? That this offer goes out over and over and over again. And I would tell you this morning that this same offer would go out to you. Do you want to enter into my plan? Do you want to become part of my family? Do you want to become part of my army, God's army? Offer goes out. And maybe you're thinking, God can't use me. Mary was a virgin, I'm not. Mary was pure, and I'm not. I can't meet the muster. Well, let me tell you about Rahab. The Jews were invading the promised land, and Rahab was a prostitute. scoped out Jericho, helped the spies and hid them and sheltered them and began in her heart to line herself up on the people of God. And as they left, she said, I'll help you, but you've got to take me with you. When you come, you've got to spare me. They said, we'll spare you if you put a red cord around your place, hanging out your window. Rahab became the great-grandmother of King David. Prostitute in the line of Jesus. God worked with regular people. I was lost in drugs and alcohol. God called me out of darkness into light. 29 years old, was transformed. Anybody talk to my brother last week? He knows. He knows everything. You look around, you see God doing miracles around here. Last night, we voted in some new members, people that God is doing a work in. Sandra and Nicole are not here, but George and Angelo and Tommy. Stand up if you guys would. God doing a work. Now, you guys can be seated. Thank you. I heard all the testimonies, but Aaron says there's some good stuff. We're going to have to be hearing what's going on inside Tommy's life. Amen? I'm done hearing about Angelo and George. Yeah, there's some good stuff going on. See, if God can work in Rahab, if God can work in me, if God can work in these, God can work in you. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready to be inconvenienced? Because following God is not convenient. Following God is about victory. You want to find victory, you might put a helmet on. Because it's war. Amen? Mary was greatly troubled, reading verse 29 to 33. She was greatly troubled. Hey, anybody going, whoa, it's getting a little scary here today. Or redirecting my life, I got my plans. I don't know if I want to give them up. How many of you would find it to be a bit of a challenge to give up all the plans of your life and just toss them away for the plans of the Lord? The Lord speaks to your heart, you do it. He's kind of scary. Lord, don't send me to Antarctica. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. And as I read this, I am struck by how God's plan is a massive plan. Amen? How mighty God's plan truly is. We read about Zechariah and Elizabeth last week and about their son, about John the Baptist, and about how John the Baptist would usher in, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Amen? That he would be empowered and he would be great in the eyes of the Lord. But Mary's son would be far beyond anything that John the Baptist ever was. Amen? That he would be called Son of the Most High God, that he would reign on the throne of David, and that he would never lose it. But God's plan is big. It is bigger than that. It is bigger than just the kingdom of the Jews. That God's plan goes again through history. It comes right through this room. And the Bible tells us that God's plan included this young child being born, being raised up to a man, never committing a sin, being taken by sinful men, being beaten on and lied on and crucified and being killed, and on the third day being raised from the dead. Can I get a witness on that part? That he would pay for my sin and your sins on that cross. And that on the third day after he was raised, that he would be ascended to the right hand of the Father. And there he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Amen? Right. Bible says he's not done. Bible says that he is coming back. He's coming back and he's going to get me and you. Amen? That he is coming back and he's going to be riding on a white horse. That his eyes will be blazing like fire, that a sword will be coming out of his mouth, and he will be clothed with a robe that is dipped in blood. He's not messing around when he comes back, amen? Amen. That is less than convenient. But God's plan is not about convenience. God's plan is about victory. And there will be complete victory on that day. And all the armies of heaven shall be following Jesus on that day. And he asked you a question today. He says, do you want to be following me? Do you got time? Will you be inconvenienced by my plan? Because my plan is not about convenience. My plan is about victory. Are we okay? I know I'm being a little bit loud today. Am I being too loud for you? We're okay? All right. Here we go. Everybody gets to choose. You get to choose whether or not you follow or not. But you don't want to lose. You don't want to be on the losing side of this. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. That's one of my favorite verses. Amen? I got to ask you a question. This ain't like no Christmas sermon you ever heard, right? I told you. We can struggle in the process. Mary was struggling a little bit. How can this be? How's this going to work out? Mary is looking for a little clarification. She's a little confused. So she asks a question. That is okay. You ever get confused with the plan of God? I'll tell you, it's a big plan. Amen? When you got confusion, ask a question. God will give you an answer. Don't doubt it. Figure it out. You need some help? Get some help. There's people around here, like Aaron was talking about. They're not only there to pump you up, they're also there to give you some clarification. Angel was there. 16-year-old girl, a little confused. That's okay. Mary gets an answer. God's going to do a miracle. Oh, okay. See, we serve a miracle-working God. Nothing is impossible with God. See, and he says, I'm going to do it. He does it. Zechariah had a problem believing God. He had a problem believing the promise of God. He says, hey, Elizabeth is in her sixth month. God made the promise. God came through with the promise. We can believe the promises of God. Amen? God comes to you and says, I want you to be part of my program. I want you to be part of my plan. You say, it's a little less inconvenient. Because I'm not about convenience. It's about victory. You want to find victory or you want to find convenience? They're not the same. You're going to have to sacrifice one to get to the other one. Which one do you choose today? Take a look at what Mary did. The Holy Spirit, she said, is going to do a miracle in you. It was the Holy Spirit that made an opportunity for John the Baptist to be radical and transform, to turn the hearts of fathers to their children. And the angel Gabriel says to Mary, it is the Holy Spirit that is going to work this miracle in you. And Jesus told his disciples that they would transform the world, and they were struggling with it. And he said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the utter end of the earth. And I want to let you know this morning that God speaks to your heart. He spoke to my heart 20 years ago. That I am calling you to follow me full time. How am I going to do that? From the power of the Holy Spirit. We were in prayer this morning, and Pastor Paul was telling Sharon and Kathy about how blown away he was about the message last week, how it lined up with what the Lord was talking to him about in worship last week, how it lined up with the prayer time last night, how it lined up with what Aaron said last week. It is amazing how the Holy Spirit talks to me, talks to Roki, talks to Pastor Paul, talks to my wife. I mean, it's amazing how lined up, how talks to Pastor Scott, talks to Aaron. He's got a plan. Amen? He says, you get on with me, I'll line you up. How? By the power of the Holy Ghost. You got confusion this morning. You can move through that confusion. You can find power in the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you through. Amen? I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Mary says, let's go. Let's roll. Let's get this done. That sounds good to me. Angel comes to her and says, I want you to change the entire direction of your life. Let's go. Let's roll. Let's get it done. Can you do that? Can you trust God for that? If God's, or do you not want to be in, you want, would you rather be watching the internet right now? Don't want to inconvenience anyone. I don't know how convenient it was for Mary's life to be transformed. Can you imagine the transformation in Mary's life? Can you imagine the life that Elizabeth led, a life of disgrace? That's what she said. My disgrace has been removed by the Lord. Mary got a bunch. Mary got some. You see, when God, how many, look, say, God's going to do a miracle in you and the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and do something mighty. How many people want to sign up for that? I'll take that. Hallelujah. Come on, Holy Ghost. But it's a radical transformation of the rest of your life. It transformed Mary's life. Why? Because there was no husband. Because there was no wedding. And because there was a baby. That is not how things normally line up. Can I get a witness on that? Maybe you felt that. Disgrace. I felt that. I have disgraced myself many times in my life. But the difference between me and Mary was my disgrace came because of the choices that I made in my life. Amen? Mary said, I will allow you, God, to put me in a situation in which I am disgraced for your plan. Less than convenient. Can I get a witness on that? You say, what are you talking about? So we don't really have all that stigma today. But we still know when we've done wrong. How do I know? You know the story. We read in chapter 2. Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem. They go to Bethlehem because Herod had called, or actually not Herod, Caesar had called the census. Of the whole Roman world, and everybody had to go where? To their hometown. And so Joseph and Mary go to their hometown, the town of David. And you know the story. There's no room for them at the inn. Well, where were they going? Hometown. Who's living in your hometown? Family. Who's going to the hometown? Family. They showed up 9 months pregnant. No room for you. Why? You're a disgrace. Lisa's niece is pregnant. How pregnant is she? Like 3 months? Something like that. I'll tell you what. She's not even really pregnant. I mean, she's really pregnant, but I mean, she's not big pregnant. I mean, she's totally pregnant. But she's not showing pregnant, you know what I mean? She shows up to our house, she's going to kick Joe out of his bed and say, hope you can have Joe's bed. Why? Because she's going to make room. Because she loves hope. Nobody in that town make any room for Mary. Why? Because she was a disgrace. And it was not a disgrace for anything that she had done, except say yes to the plan of God. Plan of God is not about convenience. It is about victory. Am My question for you this morning is, do you want to be part of it? Will you be inconvenienced by God? Because there is an opportunity for you today. Casey, you want to play? Wars come to our door. Our Lord is fighting a battle against an enemy that attacks on all fronts. And He's coming to you and He says, are you ready to join in? See, everybody is impacted by the war. You are either a prisoner of war, like we heard about Hong Kong and Guam and the Philippines and Wake Island and the Midway Island. They were under the control of the enemy. And perhaps you walk in here this morning and you are under the control of the enemy and you need to be set free. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to set the captive free. Amen? You come in here this morning and Pastor Scott talked about communion, the blood and the bread and what the impact is. You can be set free because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is less than convenient. It was not convenient for Jesus to be nailed on a cross and beaten and have a crown of thorns placed upon His head. The plan of God is not about convenience, it's about victory. Maybe you come in here this morning desperately needing victory. The angel Gabriel came and talked to Mary. All you've got is me. But let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that 20 years ago you set me free, Lord. I thank you 2,000 years ago you talked to an old man named Zechariah. You talked to a young girl named Mary. And between in the last 2,000 years you have talked to multitudes of people making an invitation. Come unto me, ye are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Not going to be convenient, but I will change your life. You come in here this morning and you are bound by the enemy. You have been captured. The war came to your door. It was in the middle of the night. You didn't even know and you got snatched up. And this morning the Holy Spirit is speaking right to your heart saying, you are a prisoner of war and I will set you free. Take my sacrifice on the cross and apply it to your account, and you can join me. I'll set you free. The Bible says, he who the Lord sets free is free indeed. Nobody looking around, but the Lord is speaking right to your heart this morning that He would transform you and transform your situation, that you would be lifted up out of darkness and delivered into light. With nobody looking around, God is saying, right now, you are a captive of the enemy. I am here to set you free. And you would say, here I am, Lord. That is what I am looking for this morning. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. I just want you to just raise up your hand and say, here I am, Lord. Set me free. Back here. Here. Anybody else? Say, here I am. Oh, a bunch of folks over here. Praise the Lord. Back there. Once I see you, put your hand down. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, each person that put their hand up. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now, Lord, that you do battle in the heavenlies, that you just come, Lord, and just grab their hand. Let them know, Lord, there is no more doubt. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross, was raised on the third day, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and He is coming back to claim you, you are now set free. You have now moved into a life of inconvenience. And I'll help you live that inconvenient life. And there's others that are here that will help you live that inconvenient life. You might have to make some changes today because of what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's less than convenient. Can I get a witness on that? Can I get a witness on that?
Yeah.
It is less than convenient. But you can have the victory. Amen? All right. Look up one last little thing. Maybe you're here this morning, and you have been set free, but you haven't been doing nothing about it. You'd rather watch church on the internet. I don't really want to be inconvenienced. And I'm not looking for a church of inconvenience. Well, this is a church of inconvenience. I'll tell you what, Beatrice, God might be calling you to do some things that He's just going to have to heal you to have you do. You know what? He's got no problem healing you. Amen? God will call you to some hard things. Amen? God will call you to inconvenience. And in the midst of that, He will call you to victory. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Lisa, I think it's a victory song of some sort. Song of some sort. Song of some sort. Song of some sort. Song of some sort.